was afraid of it, can you imagine? Yes, said Granny. Mrs. Whitlow pushed her teacup towards her and gave her an embarrassed smile. Granny sighed inwardly and squinted into the none-too-clean depths of the future. She was definitely beginning to run out of imagination. The broom whisked down the corridor, raising a great cloud of dust, which, if you looked hard at it, seemed somehow to be sucked back into the broomstick. If you looked even harder, you'd see that the broom handle had strange markings on it, which were not so much carved as clinging, and somehow changed shape as you watched. But no one looked. Esk sat on one of the high, deep windows and stared out over the city. She was feeling angrier than usual, so the broom attacked the dust with unusual vigour. Spiders ran desperate eight-legged dashes for safety as ancestral cobwebs disappeared into the void. In the walls, mice clung to each other. Legs braced against the inside of their holes. Woodworms scrabbled in the ceiling beams as they were drawn inexorably backwards down their tunnels.
You can really clean up, said Esk.
There were some good points, she had to admit. The food was simple, but there was plenty of it, and she had a room to herself somewhere in the roof, and it was quite luxurious because here she could lie in until 5 a.m., which to Granny's way of thinking was practically noon. The work certainly wasn't hard. She'd just started sweeping until the staff realised what was expected of it, and then she could amuse herself until it was finished. If anyone came, the staff would immediately lean itself nonchalantly against a wall. But she wasn't learning any wizardry. She could wander into empty classrooms and look at the diagrams chalked on the board, and on the floor too, in the more advanced classes, but the shapes were meaningless and unpleasant. They reminded Esk of the pictures in Simon's book. They looked alive. She gazed out across the rooftops of Ankh-Morpork and reasoned like this. Writing was only the words that people said, squeezed between layers of paper until they were fossilised. Fossils were well known on the Discworld, great spiral shells and badly constructed creatures that were left over from the time when the Creator hadn't really decided what he wanted to make and was, as it were, just idly messing around with Pleistocene. And the words people said were just shadows of real things. But some things were too big to be really trapped in words, and even the words were too powerful to be completely tamed by writing. So it followed that some writing was actually trying to become things. Esk's thoughts became confused things at this point, but she was certain that really magic words were the ones that pulsed angrily, trying to escape and become real. They didn't look very nice. But then she remembered the previous day. It had been rather odd. The university classrooms were designed on the funnel principle, with tiers of seats, polished by the bottoms of the disc's greatest mages, looking precipitously down into a central area where there was a workbench, a couple of blackboards and enough floor space for a decent-sized instructional octagram. There was a lot of dead space under the tiers, and Esk had found it a quite useful observation post, peering around between the apprentice wizard's pointy boots at the instructor. It was very restful, with the droning of the lecturers drifting over her as gently as the buzzing of the slightly zonked bees in Granny's special herb garden. There never seemed to be any practical magic. It always seemed to be just words. Wizards seemed to like words. But yesterday had been different. Esk had been sitting in the dusty gloom, trying to do even some very simple magic, when she heard the door open and boots clump across the floor. That was surprising in itself. Esk knew the timetable, and the second-year students, who normally occupied this room, were down for beginner's dematerialization with J-Pole the Spry in the gym. Students of magic had little use for physical exercise. The gym was a large room lined with lead and rowan wood, where neophytes could work out at high magic without seriously unbalancing the universe, although not always without seriously unbalancing themselves. Magic had no mercy on the ham-fisted. Some clumsy students